Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Hello again. Hello. Hello again. No, I shouldn't sing, really.
No, why not? I think that's one thing we never do.
We never sing, yeah.
We never sing. Apart from when we go into bank holiday weekends, which there's one of those approaching, isn't there?
Yeah.
Very soon.
We have our kind of theme song going in. You're right, Jim. I mean, although should we sing, really?
Yes. Fuck it, Jim. We deserve it. You know what I mean? Like, we come in, we do a lot, you know. We push ourselves. We're middle-aged men living the dream. I think we should. It's like we're living in a musical half the time.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't we sing?
Because the thing about it is, you know, when you get people who sing, right, they fall into a number of categories.
Mm.
But there's one big category of people who shouldn't fucking sing.
Absolutely.
Just mean they for some reason, I don't know where they picked it up along the line. I don't know whether somebody just made a random comment or whatever, but they think they can sing.
That's the problem.
And they can't.
Yeah, young people. Young people. Do you know what I don't like about young people?
What?
They don't think they're shy at anything. Like, you know, that's what it is. We've said it before, but there's a whole generation. We were raised to doubt everything, to always think that we were brutal at stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Don't speak when you're spoken to. You know what I mean? You're useless. You know, you start a band, your dad goes, I'd say you two are fucking shitting themselves, Eddie. You know, you start learning the language and it's, oh, excuse him, you, parlez-vous français.
Yeah.
You know, you get
God
slagged.
God forbid you'd have any self-confidence or self-belief.
Exactly,
You want to knock that out, I tell you, you won't get on. You're going around thinking you're all that.
Yeah, get over yourself. Who do you think you are? Bleeding Harold Crusader or something? I don't even know about it.
Harold Crusader. He was one of my heroes. Yeah. Harold Crusader.
You know,
had him on my wall.
Had him on the wall there. But like kids now, they're told. You can be anything you want.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And all you have to do is, and then there's all this shite. Put it into the universe and you will attract it. You won't. You're shit. If you were singing Michael Bolton songs going, how can we be lovers if we can't be friends?
Yeah.
You might get better, but you're never going to make a living doing it. And that's okay.
And the thing is, as well, though, that they kind of, I don't know that that's, the whole idea of this positivity stuff, right,
yeah,
is the idea of well, what? Not hurting somebody's feelings or, you know, but if you put a kid on a stage, right, and they can't do very well what it is they're supposed to do, you're basically traumatizing the kid
exactly.
for life.
Yeah.
They're just going to remember that time that they were literally, they almost shat themselves in front of an audience.
In front of an audience.
Because they couldn't remember the bleeding lines.
Public humiliation, because all ye people kept saying, no, you can do it.
You can do it.
Go for it. You know, remember, we all had one lad in school that had like, literally two left legs and they were trying to play football or something.
Yeah.
He'd take a kick, miss, his shoe would come off and hit someone in the ear or some other disastrous sort of events. His sport wasn't for him. But that's all right.
Yeah.
So he got into, I don't know, books with pandas or shit. I don't know what they got into, but they got into other shit. They're out there doing other shit now and that's all right.
And what's wrong with being shit at stuff anyway?
I know.
Because that's how you go.
We're
like,
all shit at 99% of things.
You
all
should
of us.
You should treat it just as a list, right?
Yeah.
I tried that, I was shit at it. Move on. Tried that. I'm still shit at that. Moved on. And eventually, in theory, you'll stumble across
on something. And that's the thing. Sometimes you realise you're good at something and you don't like it. And that is a bit shit. That happened to me.
That's the worst thing of all.
Yeah, I got into stand-up and I realised, I can make a living doing this. Finally, I found something I can do. Oh, I don't like it, though.
That reminds me of the time. Yeah. Remember I did that thing? I spent a few hundred quid in it, where you do this this test, and it's all that mad
I
stuff.
I love this story.
All these, it's sort of like, I forget what it's called, but anyway, and there's personality involved, and there's aptitude involved, and it's supposed to take all this stuff.
Assess all your capabilities.
Absolutely, and at the end of it, it's supposed to tell you what your ideal career would be. So, and I've been in radio a long time, and I did this thing to, you know, thinking, you know, something, maybe I'm kind of bored with it, I don't know. And I did this and it came back, you'd be very good in radio and television.
Yeah, like, there you go.
I spent, what? And you're how much did that just cost me?
And you're like, well, where'd you get that idea, shithead? You know, Like that's the same as that.
Fucking hell.
That's like one of those things where you take your car in to see if there's something wrong with it. And they go, oh, okay, it's 100 quid to assess it. And yeah. then you assess it and then you go, right, it's broken. And you go, you bastard, you. I knew that much. Yeah. You have to tell me how much is it going to cost?
Because I was hoping for it. You know the way you always sort of secretly believe somewhere at the back of your mind, you sort of secretly believe there's a profession or a...
That you had, yeah, a stone left unturned.
Exactly, yeah. That you've never even dreamt of. It wouldn't occur to you in a million years.
Yeah.
Like I was expecting, I know, somebody, do you know something? You would be amazing as a beekeeper. I don't fucking, a landscape gardener. Or I thought it'd be something mad that I'd go, Jesus, I never thought of that.
I know. And of course there isn't.
No.
We're around long enough to have thought of everything, right? But there isn't anything we haven't thought of. Not at this stage.
Yeah.
And there's plenty out there maybe we could have done years ago, but we're not getting into it now. I would love to play for Dublin. Let's be realistic. I'm not going to play. It hurts getting out of bed. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And then there's people with the mad ideas. There's some people that can pull it off. Like Elaine, my ex, right?
Yeah.
She's unbelievable. So she sort of sits there and she goes, oh, do you know what I'd love? I'd love a job, right, where you wake up at 10 and you walk to 11:30 and then you take the dog for a walk. And then when you do that, you have a little bit of an hour to eat lunch, and then maybe I could do one of my hairs or something after, you know, do a bit of... And you're going, so are you just you're just imagining something that doesn't exist at all in the universe,
yeah,
and thinking that's what I'm going to do? And she'd be like, yeah. Sure enough, 6 months later, she fucking has a job where she walks for an hour and a half.
Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is, PJ? That's putting it out to the universe.
Shite in it. Yeah, yeah, all
that. Yeah, yeah. That's putting it, and the universe will conspire to bring it back.
That's what I have. Did you watch that movie, The Secret?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. There's this big American wanker, and he's there doing this thing. He goes, I put a picture of a house that I was dreaming, and I thought one day I'm going to own a house just like this.
Yeah.
And I forgot I had that picture. And then one day I was unpacking in my new home, and I was in the very house that was in the picture. And you're like, so you forgot what you had it every day and you forgot what it looked like. You're a liar.
Yeah.
You're a liar.
Like, that's it, because he claims it wasn't just a house that looked like the picture.
It was the actual house
from the magazine.
And then you get this other head case and he goes, I packed a suitcase. Remember this fella? Every day. And I went to the airport and I didn't even have a ticket.
Yeah.
I packed a suitcase and I went to the airport and I waited in the check-in line, and when it came to my turn, I went home. And now... Do you remember that? And he goes, and now I travel the world and I got paid $1 million a month. And you're like, this is ridiculous.
Because they had a thing that there was a thing with that where you could print off a check. Do you remember this?
I do.
You could print off a check and you could write the check to yourself.
Yeah.
And the idea would be that somehow, some way, you would discover that the universe would provide you whatever amount you had written on that check.
For yourself, yeah.
Yeah. So I straight away wrote $1 million and I'm still fucking waiting.
Yeah, and I remember watching that, and at the time, I didn't know if there was something to this or not. It was a whole new ethos, you know. And your man is writing the check to himself, right? And it's, I'll write you a check for $1 million, and then you, one day you'll be able to pay that into your account. And then I realised after about a week, that's not even how a bank works. You don't write yourself checks. The money's already in your account. That's not what a bank... It doesn't work that way.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, this
I
is...
I so wanted it to work, but it just didn't. It didn't pan out. And that's the thing, isn't it? You see, there's a lot to be said for... I mean, like, you remember, like, they learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
You always learn, whatever, that thing that... Surely that's the very point of, you know, when you realise you're shit at something. It's like me with golf, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep going at something that... just feckin' annoys you all the time. Irritates you. Makes you unhappy.
Yeah, yeah. And then
and then your mates keep it. Ah, come on, we got it again. I don't want it. I hate doing it.
I hate it.
Ah, for God's sake, come on, will you, Jay? Why?
No. Yeah, no, it's organised fun to me. I'm not into it. And then you have to equate that luck is such a huge part of all our lives, you know?
Yeah.
Because let's face it, every single one of us is a mistake. Every single one of us is a mistake. If your ma planned you, you are the 1%. The rest of us, let's not say a mistake then. Definitely a surprise. There's no doubt about that. But and so everything that happened after the point of you coming out and going,
yeah.
So much, like it's 70% luck. So I just like to carry on through my life knowing I'm a terrible mistake that happened to the planet. And then I'm happy with the disasters that follows, you know.
You're right, it's like you always said about, like, the lower you keep your expectations,
exactly,
the closer you'll get to happiness.
Give up on your dreams.
Everything's a bonus.
Yeah.
Jesus, I'm still getting away with it.
And then you don't feel bad. You feel really good about your stuff, and you look at other people who do better and go, yeah, you jammy bastard.
Exactly, because where would you be without a good old-fashioned dose of begrudgery?
I see a man, Bruce Springsteen. He's all right. Definitely doesn't deserve the success. Who likes him? Only Colchis and Levi's, anyway, huh?
Deadly. Yeah. All right, listen, let's give you a few of the best bits from the show during the week, shall we? What have we got? Actually, we're doing a lot of chat about holidays. I to tell you something, that's something we're going to deal with in the future, you and I, PJ Geller.
Yeah, I know.
Holidays, because we're still trying to get you sorted out on that. But anyway, that's a story for a different day. But anyway, we ended up talking about, and not so much the idea of, you know, fabulous destinations and lounging on beaches and all that. It was more about the sort of, there was a bit about the getting there.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? There was like having to go through that nightmare at the airport.
Yeah. And just
and the plane.
And the people around you and all of that stuff, yeah.
Absolutely. So that was one thing we ended up talking about. And then the other was you know, obviously with the cost of living, that was a big topic or whatever. And if you are looking for a deal, you know what I mean? If you think there's an opportunity for a deal with, like, say, for example, a hotel, but some deals are just too good to be true.
If it sounds too, it is. Yeah.
So you'll get to hear all of that. Also, we were talking about, we were venturing into the unknown, really, when it came to two of us, but we were talking about toddlers.
Yeah.
During the week.
Oh, my, yeah. And the sense of entitlement that comes with being a two-year-old, I suppose. You might say it that way.
Exactly. And there was, to be honest with you, it was absolutely brilliant. We discovered, actually, that toddlers and eccentric billionaires
essentially have the same personalities. Yeah,
have pretty much the same desires in life. And also, we chatted about how apparently classism, okay, as it was once known, is now that could become outlawed.
Yeah, there's a growing movement to put it on the same pedestal as like racism or homophobia and all of that.
Yeah, which on the one level we were very supportive of.
Yeah, societally, absolutely supportive of.
But we did discover one potential flaw.
Yeah, but socially, if it means likes of Jim McCabe and myself can't slag each other and get slagged and slag other people, we're not going for it.
Exactly. Anyway, listen, have a listen, and we'll talk to you the other side.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Holiday season in full swing at the moment, of course.
Absolutely.
People are jetting off to far-flung exotic places and all that sort of stuff at the moment. And most of us, like, you know, when it comes to holidays, obviously fans of holidays, fans of, you know, your destination and you know, looking forward to getting there and doing whatever it is your holiday in you know, entails. Most of us don't, not massive fans of getting there.
No, not massive. Well, no, I don't think so. Some people, though, some are odd as truppins and they just were, they're quite happy to sit on planes. No, the rest of us, it's a sort of test of endurance, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly it, isn't it? It's literally like grin and bear it, grind your teeth, get through it until you get to your paradise.
Exactly, yeah. And then your holiday's ruined because you have to come home, you know, through the same experience. But cabin crew are lately, they've started warning people of things you should never do on an airplane. So cabin crew members are coming out and saying, listen, there's some mistakes they see people make all the time. And now that, like you said, it's holiday season, they're trying to warn people away from it.
Right.
You know, so simple stuff. It really is simple stuff. Like, when you're getting onto the plane, don't stand in the middle of the flipping corridor in the aisle. You know, don't stand there taking off your jacket and opening the thing and waiting and looking at the queue. Step into the feckin' seats. Get out of the way. Get out of the way.
I just want to point out that I suspect the cabin crew who are pointing this out probably didn't have the level of passion that PJ Gallagher has. You feel like a man that's been...
Yeah, yeah. You know, I feel justified that the cabin crew have come out and said this because I wanted to say this for ages. Get out of me way. You can step into the seat. You can open the up from inside from the two seats. Then you step out for a second, try yourself in and get out again. Yeah. But get out of the way.
Who'd have thought you were such a strong advocate for cabin crew rights?
Oh, yeah, I know.
It is weird though, isn't it? It is mad when somebody is like, and especially they do it, and they're literally at the start of the plane.
I know, yeah.
So it's, you know, there's like an entire plane have to get by them.
Yeah.
And they're in row 3 or something, and they insist on, as you say, making sure they have everything for the flight.
Oh, yeah.
Before they even sit
down. Before they even sit down, and there's 300 people waiting on steps and out in the rain. And you're there, you know, it drives me up the wall, that sort of stuff, you know. So that's what cabin crew are saying. Not just me, cabin crew indeed. Although, don't even get me started on the inside the security. Don't even get me started in there. Yeah, you're queuing for a half an hour, and then it suddenly comes as a hell of a shock. You're supposed to put metal in the tray. Get out of me! Stick you through the machine.
Yeah. When you see the poor security lads having to say no, and your belt.
Oh, and me belt.
Oh,
as
and
well.
Me belt. Yeah. And what about literally me said it. Oh my god.
And did me watch? If you think just do it. Just do it. And then it comes through the other side, and your man stands there and starts rebelting his trousers. And it's in the tray. There's tables at the other side of the airport. Go!
Yeah.
Get lost!
Exactly.
You know.
Bit of preparation. As you say, the shock of like, oh, you have to, right, as well.
Oh, yeah.
And like, ring, jewellery.
Oh, jeepers. And then they get out the other side, and some lunatic reassembling a pram. Get out of the way! Also they say keep your sick bag to yourself. That's it.
Oh my god.
Because apparently a thing happens, someone goes onto the plane, they go, and then they go, excuse me, you couldn't get rid of that for us. Don't. Like they hand the big bag.
I have to say. Now, thankfully, I've never been sick on a plane.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? So I've never had to have the dilemma. But like I would have assumed that the idea was like, you know, take that and throw that in the bin. Oh, like, you know what I mean?
You would.
The way you say it now, it does sound gross to hand anyone
a bag
of your sick.
That's disgusting. That's just as bad as if you have a slash into a can of Coke and you say, yeah, you wouldn't get rid of that to your woman. I didn't want to wake the person up next to me.
Or walking out of the toilet and handing them a bag going, sorry, just get rid of it.
I didn't know. There was no water in the toilet. I didn't know if you were supposed to give it to you.
I suppose when you put it like that.
Yeah.
Handing somebody, you're right.
A big sack of sick, thanks very much. I wasn't feeling the best. People are just wild, aren't they?
Yeah.
They say also, beware of unhygienic windows. They warn that planes do get cleaned down a lot, but not often the windows. And you wouldn't believe, they says, some of the people that would be asleep with their head on the window and all.
Oh, yeah, there might be drool and all sorts. Sweaty foreheads and general unpleasantness.
Or one of those lads who's been 3 months in Thailand and come home with dreadlocks. You know, he thinks he's a local all of a sudden. He's one of, you know, those people that they go travelling and they're like, you know, if you don't wash yourself for 3 months, the natural oils of your body take over and you don't need to ever wash yourself again. I bet you also hand poo and a stick to a woman over there, you dirty cretin. So they say don't be leaning on the windows and sleeping on the windows. Not a good idea. They also say don't wear shorts. I've made that mistake myself millions. I always wear shorts.
Yeah,
why apparently it's unhygienic. Apparently the seats, like, you know, they're going, if you have less.
How short are your shorts? I mean, like, short enough that your legs will be in contact with the seat.
Well, I suppose there's always a little bit.
For God's sake, nobody should be wearing shorts that short. Ludicrous.
Imagine that, some lad just there in the speedos and a pair of flip flops. Love holidays.
I like to get the most I can out of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I like to be ready from the moment I get in there, you know.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Yeah.
But surely normal, like Bermuda shorts or, you know, normal length shorts.
I don't know. Like, the cabin crew say it's not a great idea. And also they say, do flush the toilet when you're in the plane. Do flush it.
I can't believe they have to give that as an instruction.
Isn't that mad? Someone goes in and drops it.
Maybe there are those people who do it in a bag and hand it to when they go
maybe
out.
There are. People don't understand things. They go in, they see that there's no water in the toilet, or they press the button, and you know the way when you flush a toilet in the plane, it goes it's like it sucks. I think some people think that if you don't have to wipe or anything, you just sit there and it sucks all the out of your. And then they'd be like, oh, James, you see that? Or they're afraid of the noise, so they're going, I'm not doing pressing that button again. Last time I pressed it, my arm and all went down the thing after it.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
087-1818-100 if you want to give us a shout. Few people have been on after we were talking about the airplane situations.
Oh, yeah.
The things you encounter. Advice, basically, from cabin crew about things you shouldn't do while on a plane. Or should or shouldn't do. A lot of people irritated by the idea of people standing in the aisles. That's for sure.
Oh, it drives you. It's rude, like.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing, actually, because there's a kind of a related story. Naturally, you know, we were saying about it being holiday season. And things are so expensive. I mean, everything is expensive.
Everything.
And holidays are no kind of exception. They're expensive. So you're always looking for a deal. If you can spot an offer,
yeah,
that's a real win.
Yeah, big time you take it if you can. Or do you? Because some of the offers are kind of, the hotels are sort of, well, they're taking advantage a little bit to sort of get themselves on the map. So this is sort of a beachside hotel, for instance.
Right.
And it's in Ibiza. And they have a room that's cheaper than any other room to stay in the hotel. The only problem is it's completely made out of glass and it's in the lobby. So everyone that comes in can see everything you're doing, except for the toilet and all that's private and the shower unit. But when you're sleeping or walking around or getting dressed or whatever, everyone can see everything.
You're basically in a shop window.
Yeah, it's completely made of glass.
And they put it in the lobby.
And they put it in the lobby and it's completely made of glass, yeah. So who would do it? Like, why would you want to? And apparently people who have stayed there say it's a real annoying because at night everyone comes into the lobby after a few jars and they start knocking on the glass to wake you up and sort of see if it's real or whatever, you know.
Oh, that's what I was just going to say, because you think it was a novelty thing. You think it was a setup.
Yeah,
or some sort of weird David Blaine experiment.
Exactly.
You're bound to be drawn to it. That's me. Oh, no. And it's still, it's 100 quid cheaper than
the normal rooms, yeah. But I know.
God, to be honest with you, even if it was free, I wouldn't take it.
No, you wouldn't. Why would you want to?
Hotels
are hard enough to navigate.
Apart from, okay, so the what do you call it, stuff is private. You know, you're showering and your wobbly stuff isn't on display.
Yeah, that's
anything.
All.
That's
but
grand.
You still have to get dressed.
But I mean, yeah, and then, you know, like while you're asleep, sometimes you don't know what you'd be doing in your sleep.
Especially if you'd be hot and all, you'd be there, you're like
you'd be scratching yourself or doing whatever.
You'd be wearing nothing but a t-shirt after a few fizzies coming in, just lying down on the ground with your t-shirt and socks. And people would be walking in going, what in the name of God?
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good idea.
It's a big fear. Like, Garrod Farrelly always tells the story. He was like, he stayed in a hotel and the dreaded thing happened that everyone's afraid of to another man now, not to him.
Right.
Where a guy obviously thought he was walking into the toilet in the middle of the night, walked straight out into the corridor and the door shut behind him. And he was like, oh my God, standing there in the nip, no phones in the corridors, had to go down to reception totally in the nude.
Locked out of his room.
Yeah, yeah, totally in the nude. And Garrod and all, they were all down in the lobby and they just saw him appear and at the reception desk. And everybody was pretending there wasn't a man in the nip. They're all just pretending there's not a man in the nip here. And they were all just trying to pretend and have their drinks. And
so, like, trying to behave as though it was perfectly normal for a totally nude man to be walking around in the hotel lobby.
And he was standing there just with both his hands over his ghoulies. And he was going like, I'm going to have to lock myself in my room. And apparently another member of staff made it much worse because he kept going on the top of his voice, stop looking at him! It's just a man in the nip! Stop looking at him! I don't like, he's just a naked man, he made a mistake! Leave him alone! And he was roaring, I was, oh my God, stop, you're making it so much worse.
Literally, there's probably people there who genuinely hadn't noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
And was suddenly turning around going, oh God, there is!
Mind your own business! It's unreal, isn't it? Hotels can be hard to navigate.
Just out of curiosity, could nobody have offered him something? Like a, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, like a towel or a robe.
There must have been something that you could have wrapped around.
Because surely
himself.
It's happened before, you know. Yeah. It's like a t-shirt or probably some other lad taking off his trousers no more. You'll have underpants. You'll jump into them, you'll be grand.
Why is that? That is such a, that's a recurring nightmare for people, isn't it? The idea that you'd be caught out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember telling this story, that exact story, to another comedian.
Right.
And he said he was gigging for a while. And, you know, you gig in a lot of hotels and they're pretty crummy hotels. They're not great, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first time he got a gig in the States and he said it was amazing. The first time in a big fancy hotel and someone knocked on the door and said, turn down service. And he didn't know what it was. So he opened the door and she came in. And she closed the curtains And then she sort of did the edge of the bed, the duvet and all.
Yeah.
You know, put a chocolate on the pillow and everything. Yeah. And then she stood there in front of him. And he thought, he didn't know that she was waiting for a tip. And he thought, oh, she's going to tuck me in. So he got into the bed in front of her. And he was lying there.
And did he disrobe and do it?
Oh, like yeah, he just like, he wasn't even in his pyjamas. He said, I didn't know I was supposed to be ready. And he got into the bed. And he just...
With his clothes on.
With his clothes on. I just lay there in front of her waiting to get tucked in.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine what was going through her mind?
Oh, she just went, good night, sir, and walked out the door.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Anything was possible when you were young, yeah. Or at least you believed it to be.
Not that it always necessarily had to make sense.
No, and it's hard when you're around so toddlers, for instance, who think anything can happen at any given time.
And should.
Yeah, and should happen. So one dad, he was finding himself really struggling with his toddler, you know.
Yeah.
And he went on to one of those parenting websites and says, listen, come here. I'm really struggling with the kid, you know, the young lad.
Yeah.
Hey, it's just the tantrums. They're really, I can't cope. And he's having tantrums for the most ridiculous reasons. Like today, for instance, he threw a complete tantrum because I wouldn't let the dog drive him to school. And he goes, is anybody else out there? Please, please tell me.
So that was the...
Yeah.
It wasn't even something... It wasn't a food thing or it wasn't an uncomfortable thing. It wasn't having...
No.
He wanted the dog
to drive
him to school.
Yeah, and he went into an absolute complete temper tantrum, like kicked his shoes off, like started wrecking things in the house.
Oh my God.
Because dad wouldn't let him drive to school and dad wouldn't let the dog drive him to school. And then he had another tantrum later on that day because when they gave him a bath, he said the water was just way too wet for anyone.
Of course, you know, it was.
Yeah, of course it was.
Of course
yeah.
it was.
So,
my God, toddler demands are...
Yeah, yeah.
It's
unreal, yeah. And then one mother says, don't worry, it happens all the time. They have tantrums about the maddest things. For instance, my toddler this morning had a complete and utter tantrum because I wouldn't let him have a litre of syrup for breakfast. And it just goes on and on. It's like some of them, like one toddler doesn't like the feeling of tears in his eyes, apparently. And that made him cry because he thought about tears in his eyes. And then he got caught in this vicious cycle where the more he got a tantrum, the more tears appeared in his eyes and the less anyone could do about it.
He was crying because he didn't like crying.
Yeah, isn't it like brilliant. Toddler logic?
That is brilliant.
Yeah, and then...
My God, imagine being able to live your life like that.
Yeah, and especially like the next lad, because talk about wanting unreasonable demands. This guy's like a rock star. He complained and threw a tantrum because his breakfast was too hot while eating a bowl of Cocoa Pops. Like, you can't win. It's so hard to be a parent.
His Cocoa Pops were too hot.
Yes, Cocoa Pops were too hot, yeah. When I threw an utter tantrum, like, I couldn't believe it.
Did you say there was one in the list about... did somebody... wouldn't a toddler throw a tantrum because when they woke up...
Yeah, he woke up in the middle of the... Or he woke up in the morning.
Yeah.
And his shoes weren't already on. And he lost his mind. He hates putting his shoes on. He hates it. He says he put them on yesterday. And now they're off. And all he wanted was to not have to deal with the hassle of putting his shoes on this morning.
He wanted them to be on when he woke up.
When he woke up, yeah. And it was absolutely ridiculous. He couldn't take his trousers off while his shoes were on. And then he'd have to relive the ordeal of that the next day. You can't win. You literally can't win.
That's something. I mean, that's... The brilliance of it all is the fact that they're the kind of demands that you'd expect from, like, you know, eccentric billionaires and stuff, you know, that you just expect. There's no such thing as impossibility.
Yeah.
I just want it. And you know what I mean? It's like a spoiled celebrity or something.
It really is. It's like a drunk billionaire.
Yeah.
You just decide you want something to be off for the sake of awkwardness. Like the young girl who her mother told her she had her shoes on the wrong feet and tried to change them. She goes, I like them on the wrong feet. Like, there's nothing you can do. That's the way I like my shoes. I like them to point outwards. I prefer having feet that point the wrong direction. I like to walk like a duck. It's what I'm into.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
I love the logic of it. Wouldn't you just love if there was some sort of resort you could have a summer holiday in? where you could make these demands of the staff just for once in your life to live the life of a demanding toddler.
Yeah, yeah, or a drunk billionaire, yeah, as the case may be. And they'd be like, when I wake up in the morning, yes, would you like a particular something for breakfast? No, I just would like to make sure that my shoes are already on when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. What would you like for breakfast, sir? I would like a glass. I would like a Prosecco served in a dog's bowl. Please.
Yeah, yeah. With a litre of syrup.
Yeah.
And warm cocoa pops.
Be amazing. What do you want for dinner? A bucket of vol-au-vents. Just these insane demands. I absolutely love them.
Sorry, we've just had a WhatsApp in from Will, who said that my toddler had an absolute meltdown because I wouldn't let her get into the oven to watch her dinner cook.
Yeah.
Janet and Rahini was on to say, I said to my daughter, your shoes are on the wrong feet. And her response was, but they're my only feet.
Yeah. And the thing is, when it's that logic, she's not wrong. You know, it's a very hard thing to argue against. Yeah.
And also then Tara was on saying, not even a toddler, right? But her 9-year-old refused to make her communion if there was any chance that the communion bread was going to be brown bread.
That's a great demand.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Once upon a time, there was stuff you could say.
That you can't anymore.
And you most certainly cannot now.
And rightfully so.
Well, I was just going to say, in most cases, that's a very good thing.
Yeah, of course.
People have copped on to, you know, not saying things that might be considered offensive or whatever.
Yeah, it's no longer like sort of publicly acceptable to do jokes about race or people's sexuality or anything like that, you know. And I think that's better. It's made everything much more sort of inclusive and all of that, you know.
The latest one has taken, it's taken an unusual turn.
Well, there's a new group and they're gathering a bit of momentum online. And they say that class discrimination should be treated the same as racism, is what they're saying.
Right.
Now, sounds normal enough to say like that.
Well, yeah,
and of course, if it's in the workplace or...
Just going to say, if it means that you don't get a job because you're supposedly from the wrong side of the socio-economic tracks or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, if you don't get a promotion because of it.
Yeah.
Or if you're sort of a, you know, I don't know, just frowned upon for whatever reasons.
We're all for that.
I'm all for that. Well, where do we go with the slagging then? I mean, let's be serious. What are we going to laugh at? What? Hold on a minute. This city was built on people slagging each other from where in this city you come from.
Well, exactly.
It was literally built on it. The Irish sort of wit is all about, sure, how many times have we slagged off Jim McCabe for not being... For being the only lad in Finglas who didn't have a horse. Or how many times have we slagged off people in Dalkey for having a horse? In fact, I was neither rich enough or poor enough to have a horse.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you see, the thing about that slagging is it works both ways. Because you assume discrimination means that like the higher classes would be slagging off the lower classes.
Of course.
But, I mean, the amount of joy we get of slagging off Kabosh, who lives in...
it's the crack... I'm slagging off, Ukdaruchi and Kabosta, who are absolutely sending it while they're on holidays in Thailand. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
I hope that's not going to be... Would we be considered racists for slagging off kind of people who go around talking like that?
I certainly hope not. I mean, this city, literally, every time you turn a corner, there's a new accent. Like, every time you turn a corner.
Yeah.
You know, and I certainly have no intention of stopping slagging people, and I've definitely no intention of stopping being slagged. I remember, like, it was gas in Marino, the lads from the Ballyback Flats used to slag us for being posh. And then the ones in Clontarf would slag you for being...
poor.
So you're kind of this hybrid, I suppose. You know.
So you were getting it from above and below.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have to say, I enjoyed both of it. Yeah. You have to be able to sort of give it back.
I mean,
to be
fair, like, would you regard? I suppose somebody out there is going to come make a big political statement about this, but
of
that's not what I mean
by
it. But I mean, generally speaking, you know, Ireland's not like, it wouldn't be like England when it comes to class, for example.
No, I don't think it is.
I mean, they had all sorts. I mean, I never really understood how you were supposed to differentiate between working class, middle class, upper class.
But you see, in a lot of places it sort of comes down to an accent now, because there's lads living in Killiney and all. I mean, they have a 7-bedroom house and a mortgage, and like, that's a guy with real problems. You know, Why does he take another fella who's living in Cabra or whatever? And,
yeah.
You know, he's getting on with his day and there's not a bother on him. So a lot of it is just about... I think
most people associate it with money. But then, as you say, you get, especially in the UK, right, you get those lads who own stately homes and they haven't got a pot.
Haven't got a pot.
They literally are like, they just, they, you know, they, everything's threadbare.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it now.
Holes in their jumper and all. Like, how do you live? I don't know. The government give me a check in the post office. You see, you're on the dole. Is that what it is?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, I mean, I hope they're not going to take that away now. I hope we can't slag that guy.
Definitely.
A man with a stately home but holes in his jumpers.
Oh,
if that
yeah.
isn't made for humour, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I know. I'm slagging everyone anyway. That's all. I have no intention in giving up on it. It's too much fun.
Yeah.
It's too much fun. It's great crack. Like.
And that's a harsh thing, isn't it? Like, to classify it as racism.
To bring it up to that level, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. We poor unfortunate stately home owners are being picked on.
I know, stately, you have to laugh at them, you know what I mean? The day we remember Jim McCabe's childhood when he was in his threadbare breeches chasing a hoop up the street when Finglas was all farms, the day we stop laughing at that is the day Dublin has lost its soul.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
So there we have it, another glorious week on Morning Glory.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. I mean, I think it was a good week actually, you
know.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
And bearing in mind, I mean, we had to get through that, we had to do all of those shows in extraordinary heat.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Because we had that phenomenal heat wave. Hit us.
The phenomenal heat wave that was lasted for an entire day.
Mm.
How we got through it, I have no idea.
It was extraordinary.
It was gas. I love the way here we always have, the Brits always get it either much better or much worse than we do.
Yeah.
We seem to tick along somewhere. Our little metronome doesn't seem to go as far forwards or backwards as it does for them.
Yeah.
And watching them being cooked at 40 odd degrees, you know, and there were still people here going, I can't believe it. It was 23 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 23,
But the worst one of all was that when you came in that day and you said that somebody, you'd been out on the, I don't know if it was the day of the actual massive heat, was it? Was it the day of that was supposedly the heat wave? Whatever day that was,
yeah.
I can't remember. The
I can't
Monday
remember
or
now, yeah.
But didn't you say that somebody actually turned around to you and said, I bet you'd rather have the beast from the east now, what?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Where does that thinking even come from?
What are you
from?
Talking about? Yeah, what, 2010? Would you have the winter of 2010, would you?
No,
never. Not at all. You stop enjoying, you stop wanting to, you always want the same people when it's freezing.
Yeah.
Are the ones that go, Jesus Christ, I wish I couldn't sleep at night, you know?
That's what I'm saying, but to go to those, it's one thing to say, oh, having to stay indoors or having to do what, or it's a bit, I'm sweating or whatever.
Yeah.
But fucking hell.
I know.
Wishing for literally a once-in-a-lifetime storm to come along and shit on you instead.
Yeah, unless you're a got. They're the only people that, you know, gots, I always pity gots in the summer, I do.
Yeah.
You know.
Gots are a bit like, and I don't mean this in the, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but they're a bit like dogs.
Yeah.
They sort of can't do anything about it.
No, you can only walk them before dawn or as the sun goes down because they overheat,
yeah.
You know.
And they can't, it's like,
they're looking through the hair. And
yeah, and they don't have the option to change their clothes. A bit like a dog with its coat.
Yeah,
they don't have the option to shed.
I know,
in order to kind of cool down.
Because they have to be always covered in black and the big high-heeled buckly boots and the bulge in the front of the skin-tight jeans and or else, you know, the long flowing dresses and the, you know, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I feel sorry for gots. Like, you know, the gots are a sort of, they're forgotten about minority. Like, you never see a got driving a car. I don't know why, but you never see a got driving a car.
Why is that, you?
I don't know. They don't drive cars. They don't cycle bikes. Yeah, they don't come out on summer days. You never see a got with a sandwich or with an ice cream. I don't know what it is about them.
That's extraordinary.
They're forgotten about
minority.
And yet
they never get studied by science or anything at all. You know the way like most tribes have been sort of discovered at this stage? And you kind of know about them even if they're in the deepest, darkest Amazon.
Yeah, there seems to be only two sort of gears for gots. Either completely overdressed and out in freezing weather or at home totally in the nip on an OnlyFans. That seems to be the only two types of gots there is. Completely nude or overdressed. tell you, Jim, €10 a month and you can see any goth you want.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.